So I know you have done a show called Your Days Are Numbered, The Maths of Death. I believe the mathematics of death.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pulling that strictly from memory. I don't know why I said that so slurred in with the other things, because that's going to be hard to cut out. but the first thing I would like you to do specifically is, could you please define for me what a micromort is? Because it's my favorite mathematical term.
It is lovely. Yeah. We did this show called Your Days Are Numbered, The Maths of Death. And it was all about the mathematics and statistics behind your chances of dying of different things. And what you can do to alter when you're going to die and how long you're going to live for. And we want to do a section on the risk inherent in doing things, right? Because as soon as you attempt to do anything or go anywhere, there's a chance you'll die doing that. And it's this lovely concept of everything has a one-off risk attached to it. There's a unit called the micromort. And the micromort is a way of trying to give you some level of intuitive grasp of your risk when you do something. Humans are terrible at understanding risk. We have no innate intuitive sense of probabilities and risk, and it's very hard for us to get a nice natural handle on it. And the micromort effectively kind of does that. Let's say you feel the need to take ecstasy, right? And if you take ecstasy, it's an illegal drug, apparently good fun. There is a chance you will overdose and die. And so you can look statistically at the number of people, roughly, that will take ecstasy and the number of people who will then die. And you can use that, assuming that it's equal risk for each pill that might not kill you because they're not made under great conditions, that if 1 million people take ecstasy and one person dies, there's about 1 million in 1 chance, if you take ecstasy, that tablet will kill you. And this idea of 1 million in 1 risk was given the name micromort. So it is one micro, it's 1/1000th of your mortality. It's a micromort. And so if you do something with a micromort of risk associated with it, then there's a 1 in 1 million chance you will die doing it. And at this point, you can look at all sorts of things. So some people looked at canoeing accidents, which I thought was quite fun. And they calculated that if you go canoeing for about 6 minutes, then there's a 1 in 1 million chance you will die. So it's roughly 1 micromort of risk for every 6 minutes canoeing. So it means that 6 minutes canoeing is equivalent to taking ecstasy, at least in terms of risk. And then you can go wild. And so people have crunched all sorts of stats to work out the micromorts that are associated. And so someone looked at transport, and apparently if you go 230 miles in your car in the UK, there's a 1 micromort risk associated with that. Whereas if you go by train, you get about 6,000 miles per micromort of risk. And so it's a nice way. It's not entirely mathematically rigorous, but it's a nice way of comparing different risks. And the idea behind our show was to take these things where we only have a vague concept of what's dangerous and what's not, and we haven't really got any real grasp, and just give people a handle on comparing risks of different things.
Do you want to perhaps say who you did the show with, instead of just continuing? Instead of just saying, do you want to or do you not want to?
Someone, I forget details. Yeah. No, okay. I'll talk about the show if you want.
Yeah.
Do you want? Okay. We do a show called Your Days Are Numbered, The Maths of Death, and it's a collaboration between myself and another performer called Tamandra Harkness. And I've got a background in maths and math teaching and stand-up, and she's got a background in performing arts. And she loves maths and stand-up and journalism. And so we're like, well, this is great. I mean, I can talk about statistics and you can talk about the way the media looks at risk. And so between us, we went and begged an organization called the Wellcome Trust, and who do medical bits and pieces, and said, please give us some money so we can do a show about death and statistics. And they went, all right. And they peeled us off a little bit of their wad for us to pop up to the Edinburgh Fringe to perform a show about death. And it's been great fun putting it together. And audiences seem to like it. They seem to like coming and seeing a show about maths and death.
And what was the micromort measure for sitting in your show?
Oh, yeah. So we worked out. We didn't do it in micromorts, but we worked out that if you watch the show, and don't quote me on this, I think it's a 0.00043% chance of dying during our show. Which was, it's a very rough statistic. What I did was I took our average audience, which is vaguely 15 to 65. I took accidental deaths or people dying, basically the number of people in that age category who die every year, assumed they die at a nice even distribution, and then worked out that is the probability of someone in our average audience dying during the show. And no one has yet. Oh, okay. Which is a shame, because it'd be great publicity.
And how long was the show?
The show ran for an hour.
Okay, so I asked that for a specific reason. So if that ran for an hour, you could also say that the probably a very similar probability for, say, the people listening to this show.
Yes.
Might keel over.
No, absolutely. If you're listening to this show, that's your same chance of dying during it. We didn't take into account external factors. It's relatively safe to sit in the theater, whereas if people are listening to this podcast and...
bicycling.
If people are listening to this show and say they're bicycling or crossing a road, then you may inadvertently be contributing to someone's death. I hope you took that into account.
Okay, you've mentioned a few of the statistics so far. Do you have... specific favorites as far as kind of these risk or death statistics?
Oh, I do. Because to write the show, we got to trawl through all sorts of stats. And in the UK, there's an average of 348 people every year who die in the category of foreign body entering through natural orifice. And they don't give you any more information than that. You work out your own backstory. But I thought that was fascinating. And because you can download all the statistics and you can see who's died from what. And you can work out statistically, if you do die, what the probabilities are it was from different things. And that was my favorite cause of death. It is, unfortunately, it's not quite as naughty as it sounds. A lot of it is people inhaling things, which is a bit of a shame. But 50 to 100 people die falling out of bed every year. That's kind of cool. So, tuck in for safety. And it's great. And the great thing is you can access these statistics, so you can just go and download this stuff. It's brilliant.
So, you've mentioned that people don't seem to have a decent grasp on risk itself. Why do you think that people don't really get it?
See, there's just, our brains just aren't good at doing probability. And the great thing about maths is it gives us a way to calculate it. And a lot of mathematics is giving us the ability to do things and to think logically and to explore things beyond what we can just do naturally, which is amazing. And maths is great for teaching your brain how to think about these things and do them. But, I mean, I don't know. I suspect, and this is purely guessing, that from an evolutionary point of view, it was beneficial to develop fast and quick ways of either rounding up severely or rounding down severely to give us the best survival situation. So if you greatly overassume a risk, then maybe you've got a better chance because you won't have as many false negatives. What would this be? Because if you accidentally assume that there's no risk and you die, that's bad. But there's probably a smaller cost to accidentally overassuming the risk and avoiding something. And so I suspect we've developed brilliant survival strategies in terms of interacting with risk in the real world. But if you want to actually calculate it and find out what the real risks are, our brains are terrible at guessing what those actually are.
How important do you think a proper understanding of risk is for people today?
To live your day-to-day life, probably it isn't, right? Because you can survive quite happily. However, that's not the whole story, because whenever you read a newspaper or watch on TV, there's some medical story about... in fact, just the week we're recording this, one came out about the way you cook red meat doubles your risk of intestinal cancer or something. And we're constantly seeing these stories, and they're throwing risks at us, and they're scaring us with these risks. And people are changing their behavior based on a scary statistic they saw in the paper. And so now I think it is important that you have a nice, relaxed, rational approach to risk and statistics so you can interact with the media and you can interact with medical advice to know what's going on. Because some of these bits of advice could be very useful and it could be important for your particular situation, life, and state of health, and you could benefit greatly from knowing this, whereas other bits might just be scaring you into unnecessary behavioural change. And so I wanted to give people, by watching the show, the mathematical confidence to look deeper into the statistics they see. Because you can look up the original stats behind some of these stories. You can look up your original baseline risk when they just report what the change in your risk is. And so I think your day-to-day life, you probably don't need to have a great sense of risk. But if you want to understand the media and if you want to avoid scare stories, then you do.
Yeah, so do you think that this kind of need to better understand risk is kind of a something that has been caused by our acceleration into kind of like a media age and information age, that it's more important now than, say, it was 50 or 100 years ago?
I think it is. Things have changed in terms of the news we see. Because if you look at deaths, well, this isn't a show because it's very depressing, right? We don't have a very upbeat show. But very young children dying, not that many young children die. But the problem is they are all pretty much, with that exception, reported on in the media. And so you pretty much read about every single death in some age categories. And our brains go, well, if we're seeing these few deaths, it must be happening all the time. It must be very dangerous. And it's not. It's just that we're messing with our input. We're used to seeing a little bit of information and extrapolating. And because of modern media, we see all the information, and we assume that you can extrapolate from that, and it's much, much worse. And so, with our modern lives with the media is messing with our ability to assess actual risks out there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Yes. Oh.